Griff, I'll keep this first question really concise. What the hell just happened on Saturday?
Wow. Man, what a Georgia football meltdown. You know, I know everybody's just, you know, out for blood. How can this happen to Georgia? You know, well, you know, I would just point to the last 8 years. I think, six out of the last 8 years, the team that won a national championship lost the game, unless they play in the ACC. But I think you got to go back to 2010 to find an SEC team that ran the gauntlet. Then you got to go back to Auburn. But Georgia had that bad game. I mean, you know, the All-American kicker misses two field goals. The quarterback throws three picks, two of them, you know, on the receivers. One, the receiver runs the wrong route. Another one, ball goes off the hands. You know, South Carolina kept the ball on the fairways and hit the green. You know, I mean, what happens? One team plays good, one team plays bad. Four turnovers for one team, none for another. Team loses. You know, I'm still trying to figure out how the Detroit Lions beat the New England Patriots last season. But it happens in football, and you give credit to Muschamp in South Carolina for taking advantage of that bye week, coming in with a good game plan, executing it. And Georgia takes a hard look at themselves and tries to figure out, you know, how they could outgain a team almost 2-1 and hold the ball for 37 minutes and turn the ball over four times. That's what happened, and they lost. Yeah.
I'm getting a lot of tweets from people wanting me to ask you, will they tweak stylistically what they do offensively, or will they just simply try and get better at what they do?
Well, I mean, you say tweak. I mean, look, you're not going to get an overhaul. And think about it from Kirby Smart's perspective. So you go into this season knowing that you've lost your top five pass catchers from last year. Your top four receivers are gone from 2018. So you're basically relying on a brand new group. You got Lawrence Cager, the grad transfer from Miami. You got the two freshman receivers, Pickens and Blaylock. And you got Demetrius Robertson, who was in your program for a year but didn't catch a pass last year. Those are your top four targets. And Eli Wolf, you know, he's trying to replace Isaac Naughton. He's doing a really nice job. You're not going to have the same synchronization with four or five brand new receivers that a team that has some receivers coming back would have. What you do have, at the start of the year at least, was a great offensive line and a really deep backfield. But, you know, that great offensive line has only been intact for one game, and that was the opener. You know, and the receivers have taken some hits. I mean, Cager, who was their go-to guy, I think he converted on three third-down catches in the first half. He gets knocked out of the game at halftime, doesn't come back. So, you know, people that want to criticize Georgia and people that want to criticize a coach, and I've learned this, it doesn't matter if there are reasons for a loss. They see it as a loss, and they see it as a way to justify their preconceived notions. But the reality of it is, you know, Georgia's getting beat up, and Georgia didn't play well. And that's a bad combination. You can't win a football game if you turn it over four times and the other team doesn't turn it over at all. Now, as far as moving forward, they can't go hyperspeed and become LSU and Alabama. They're not going to win a shootout against LSU or Alabama. You're not going to do it. It was Florida found that out. It was a bad game plan by Florida to try to play, you know, LSU that style. So if you're Georgia, the only way you're going to win a championship this year is to be able to run the ball and play good defense, because you're not going to outscore LSU or Alabama. So Kirby's going to do what he's got. He's going to play to his strengths and, you know, hope that they never see a game like that again. It took all those things for Georgia to lose. It took four turnovers to none. It took an All-American field goal kicker missing two field goals. And it took a quarterback who hadn't thrown an interception all season to throw a 3-1 game. They still almost won, even with all those things going wrong. So Georgia's good football team played an awful football game.
Defense only gave up 13 points. You can win that way.
You know, I'm looking at Light Dog 1968, and he just nailed it here. You know, some deeper analysis. I wasn't going to go this deep. But, yeah, the center, Trey Hill, just got abused. South Carolina has a really good defensive line. Kinlaw is a guy that, I was talking with Cole Kubrick about this yesterday. He was the guy that beat Alabama up front. I mean, he beat everybody. Javon Kinlaw, he may be the best D-tackle in the league. Him or Derrick Brown, but Kinlaw was a big reason for some of Georgia looking a little off kilter, I felt like. And, you know, as this this Light Dog 1968 on Twitter says and noted, and we've all talked about it, you know, when the center's getting beat up that bad, that, there was a fumbled exchange for Jake Fromm, too. That was one turnover directly caused by this guy. But the snaps were a little low. It looked like Jake was having to bend over and reach for him. The timing gets thrown off a little bit. Jake was off a little bit. I mean, look, South Carolina did just enough right to get Georgia just enough wrong. And then they melted down. And, you know, and that is something, that is a red flag because, you know, Georgia wants to be in the conversation as a championship contender. You're not supposed to lose to unranked teams at home. In fact, Bill, that was the first time in Georgia football history that a Georgia team ranked number three or higher lost at home to an unranked opponent. So that was a big upset. And nobody's taking it lightly over there in the Georgia football building. But they're going to do what they can do. I mean, they can't change overnight. The hay's in the barn. They worked an entire offseason. This is going to be their offensive identity. They're going to try and run the football. They're going to try and select moments when they go tempo. And they're going to continue to play to their strengths. And they're going to hope that, you know, that was an aberration for Rodrigo Blankenship to miss two field goals. And for Jake Fromm, you know, to be a part of those four turnovers.
What is Lawrence Cager's availability for the Kentucky game?
Probably out. You know, I asked that question at the press conference yesterday. You know, Cager had been playing with a separated shoulder going into the game, and he suffered a rib injury as well. So I think he's on the shelf, and I don't know when he comes back. I mean, this is a guy that's a senior, and if that shoulder needs work, I mean, does he get it now? Because he's got to look for his NFL future. I don't know the answer to that question. If they lose Lawrence Cager, that's a big loss for Georgia. Like I said, you know, you got to remember, going into the season, there were certain positions where Georgia could not afford to lose players, and wide receiver was one of them. That was an area that they were thin. It was there. They were unproven. They had to rely on a lot of newcomers, and now they need those freshmen to step up even more. Now you need to see more out of George Pickens and Dominic Blaylock. The good news, they just got Kyrus Jackson back. He was a starter that got injured in the Vanderbilt game with a broken hand. So, you know, you're finding out right now if they have championship depth. But I've seen top 10 teams before, just a few years ago. You know, Butch Jones had a team ranked in the top 10 that was 5-0. And they went on the road and lost to A&M in a very physical game, and the bodies started dropping. Now, they lost the locker room. They didn't just lose players to injuries. In fact, I think they led the nation in injuries. But they lost the locker room because some of your leaders weren't really good leaders. I won't mention their names, but they're in the NFL now. I don't think Georgia's going to lose the locker room. And I know that this Georgia team has more stability behind it, considerably more. So this is still a team, I believe, that's going to win double-digit games. I still believe Georgia's going to win the SEC East. But as far as winning a championship now, they're going to have to find some answers before I'm back on that bandwagon.
Mike Griffith with us, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Dog Nation. A couple of teams that you used to cover. Tennessee gets a win over Mississippi State. I know you were busy doing your job, but what do you think about that?
Well, it's good for Tennessee. I mean, that's the kind of game they got to win. You're supposed to win the ones – you got to win the games you're supposed to win. They go to Alabama, and, you know, we'll see what happens. Then they got to play UAB. You know, you kind of wonder what's going on behind the scenes. I mean, actually, I don't wonder. I still hear from people. The locker room is, you know, they got issues. They got, you know, they got some internal issues. And that happens on when you make personnel changes and you go with younger players. You kind of upset the apple cart. And, you know, right now, you know, that's a program is kind of, you know, Jeremy's kind of bandaged and taped it together. And you know, they got all those high-priced coaches, though. And these guys are getting paid a lot of money to keep that program held together. There's a lot of resources there at Tennessee. And, you know, they got to get players in there. They got to get a healthy culture, though. More than anything, they got to get a healthy culture. You know, they got to distance themselves from some of these off-field issues they've had with the cornerback and the linebacker. That's an indication of culture. You can't have any more of that. And we can't answer that question right now. We can't say what these guys are going to do when they get back from Alabama on Saturday night. You know, we can't, you know, put a thermometer in the locker room and gauge the temperature. You know, Garantano's back in there, you know, a quarterback now. Does that ease some things, a little tension? Probably. But is he going to start winning games? You know, again, I guess so. He beat Mississippi State. I'm kind of, you know, on the fence on Tennessee. I think it's a program that I felt should go to a bowl this year. I don't know if that's still going to happen, though, Bill. And then Michigan State, you know, a program coming off a shutout loss, a program with some off-field issues with Mark D'Antonio. This is his last season. This is the end of the D'Antonio era. It's not ending well. It's ending ugly with Coach D'Antonio losing his poise at press conferences, an off-the-field lawsuit, the revelation that he got a kid into school who had a history of violence, and then the kid committed a violent act once in school. This is something Michigan State cannot sustain with their recent history of Larry Nassar and with the dismissal of their former president, AD. D'Antonio's now caught in that web. And this will be it for Mark D'Antonio this year. So good news, the good, the bad, and the ugly right there, really. I mean, Michigan State's ugly. What happened to Georgia is bad. And I guess Tennessee got a good win. So kind of an interesting segment there, Bill.
Hey, I'll let you out the door. But so you think that D'Antonio probably will be allowed to, in your opinion, have a press conference and resign? Is that what will happen?
I don't know. I don't know what he'll be allowed to do. I know that he doesn't have to testify until January. The judge did decide that he doesn't have to testify until January, so they gave him the grace to finish out the season. But once he testifies, he's going to have to answer questions about why he recruited a kid who'd been expelled from school and was a diversionary program and went to the president to get the kid into school. He's going to have to explain that, and there's no good explanation for that. So does that happen before or after he gets his $4 billion bonus? I don't know. I just know that they play Penn State. Michigan State doesn't have much of an offense. It's not the same program that I covered 4 years ago.
All right, Griff, we'll see you next week.
All right, appreciate it, Bill. Have a good one.